As patriots, it's our duty to rise up in a world full of darkness. Evil comes in many forms, and it lurks around unexpected corners. It's time to stop wondering what will happen if it comes to war. War is already here. It's time to rise. Rise up for truth. Rise up for freedom. Rise up for our rights as American citizens. And now, at the head of the militia, here's your host, Nikki Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host, Mickey Garris. It's good to be here today with you on this Saturday afternoon, this soggy June Saturday. But hey, we will take it, won't we? I mean, let's be honest, we desperately need the rain, and we know that it's brutal out there. It's very dry, and it's just a tinderbox. And we know that the fire season this year is not looking very good. It looks like things could get out of control really quickly. In fact, I can't believe for just being the start of June how quick my grass is already dried out, and just everything is just dry as can get. I got a small farm. I farm hay, and I can tell you that our hay crop is just, it really ripened fast this year. It's turning yellow on me quick, faster than I'm able to get it cut and baled. And it's going to be a little bit overdone this year, but it's just the way it is. It's just been so dry. This rain that we're having right now, desperately needed. It won't be enough, though. They're saying an inch, maybe an inch and a quarter over the weekend. I hope that's true. Might help a little bit, but it's definitely not enough. So, and I know it's kind of a mixed bag of chips for some of the farmers out there. Some farmers, they need it so bad. They're just praying and praying for it. And then you have other farmers that their trees are already starting to bear fruit, like the cherry farmers. And this rain at this time, especially with the way the temperatures have been and the humidity and whatnot, it's just really bad on the fruit. It's going to cause cracking, possibly mold issues, fungus issues. And so it's one of those things, damned if you do, damned if you don't. But thinking about the fires, though, I think the rain is something that we should welcome. So we'll see how that goes. Man, I hope you guys are doing well. It's been a crazy week here in Oregon for politics, and it's kind of a time in our history that we're witnessing things happen that have never happened before, events in our state house that have never happened before regarding the expulsion of Mike Nierman, House Representative. And it's because of back when the protests were happening at the Capitol and people were upset about the doors being locked and people being denied access. Many people felt that they were denied access against the Constitution, that, Mike Nierman, he walked out the door and people caught the door as he was walking out, and they came in and they started to protest on the inside and had a little bit of a scuffle with law enforcement. And of course, that's what started the whole ordeal. It's a shame it ever had to come to that. It's a shame that the governor and Tina Kotecz and the House leadership felt necessary to lock out the public from these proceedings that the public have every right to attend and be a part of. Now, of course, they did it under the emergency of COVID and public safety and health concerns. But there was absolutely no doubt in my mind that there wasn't other intentions. And they were just, quite honestly trying to stick it to the people and show them, hey, we're in charge. We can do what we want. We don't care about your voice. And that's how the governor has been running the ship ever since she took over, isn't it? I mean, she is not a governor in a democracy. She is a dictator. You know, I call her quite often the Fuhrer, and that's how she acts. And that's how the Democrat supermajority in Salem act. They don't care about the Republicans. They don't care about we, the people. They don't even care about their own constituents. Now that they have the power, they're just going to, exercise it however they see fit and just do whatever is going to make it better for them. It's corrupt. It's absolutely tyranny. And it's that mentality that got us to this place that is a historic moment in our history here in Oregon, with the House Rep, Mike Nierman, being expelled. He was expelled on a Thursday night, about 7:30 at night. They took a vote, and every single House Rep, Republican and Democrat, voted to expel him from office, except for Mike. Mike stood his ground. When you read the papers about Mike, they quite often use the word defiant, and they're really painting Mike with a broad brush, and really trying to make him look like he was guilty of treason or something serious. And the truth of the matter is, I don't think Mike ever would have done what he did if he felt like anybody was going to get hurt, or if he felt like he was putting anybody's lives in danger. I don't think that's in his heart. I think Mike's a good man. I've already talked to you about my feelings on him. I think he's overall a good legislator. I think he's one of the more conservative, if not the most conservative, in the House. I think he's a constitutionalist. But I think what he did was to make a point, to make a stand, to stand by the people. But I don't think he would have done what he did if he felt like it was going to blow up and turn into the spectacle that it turned into, and especially if he felt like it was going to put any law enforcement in harm's way. I don't believe he's against law enforcement. I don't believe he ever wanted to hurt any of the state police officers in the building or anybody else in the building. And I think things got out of hand, and things weren't thought through very carefully. Mistakes were obviously made, but I don't think there was any ill intentions from Rep. Nierman himself. I just think that it was a case of poor judgment, and now there's consequences because of that poor judgment. Now, we can say that, this never should have happened. We never should have been locked out of our house. That is the people's house, and I 100% agree with you. The problem is it should have been challenged in court. We should have gone down and got an injunction from Marion County when they decided to kick the people out, and Marion County could have made the rule on if the accommodations they made to allow people to view that over streaming services meets the requirements of having that house opened. And then we would have had to follow the law, but it would have been legal by a court. If the court said, no, they've got to open the doors, people need to be allowed into the building, into the session to participate, then we'd have had more legal ground. But unfortunately, nobody walked a couple blocks down the road to get that injunction from a judge. And you know what? Some people took matters into their own hands, and it turned into something that it probably should have never been. But here we are. And what did it cost? It cost a conservative voice, a leader in Salem that has done a lot to protect this state and protect his constituents and protect freedom. It cost him his position. He's been criminally charged. He has several criminal charges. And he will be going and seeing his day in court and defending his actions in court. And we'll see how that shakes out. I'll be honest with you, with the video that has come out this last week, I don't think it looks really good for him. When this first went down, all we saw was Mike exiting the building, and it looked like they caught the door and they were able to squeak in behind him. And it looks like he wasn't even aware of what was going on. And so I was standing behind him, and you know, that was my thought process. I thought, I don't even know if Mike realized what he did. If he did realize what he did, I don't think there's going to be any way that they can prove that he had intent, things like that. But this last week, as you guys probably know, more video has surfaced, and a few weeks in advance of that incident, Mike was actually instructing his constituents how to text him, let him know that they were there, and he would open the door for them. And it's pretty damning evidence. Unfortunately, it's not going to bode well in court for Mike. And with that new evidence that came out, and watching that video testimony from Mike himself, quite honestly, the legislators, their hands in a lot of ways were tied. And I know this is a hot topic right now, my friends. And Here's the deal. Republicans in Oregon are in a lot of trouble. They are taking a lot of heat from the Mike Nierman supporters, the constituents that believe Mike was in the right, and they are tearing the Republicans apart. Keep in mind that every single Republican voted to expel Mike Nierman from his seat. And I can tell you, and I have talked to several of them, good Republicans, strong conservatives, strong constitutionalists, people that have served us well, that we've been happy with in the past, that were forced to make a decision they didn't want to make. They were forced into a corner, into a bad spot. And after the deliberations and the meetings and the discussions with Mike Nierman himself and looking at the evidence, and remember, they had access to evidence before we did, they felt like this was the only course of action, knowing that they would get extreme backlash. And trust me, it's not been a walk in the park for them. The constituents and the Mike Nierman supporters, the Republican base is charged and they are fired up and they are livid at the Republicans for expelling Mike. It's almost worse than the group of people that are livid at Vice President Mike Pence for not standing up for Donald Trump and for not throwing the election results out and forcing the states to resubmit them. You know, people feel like Mike Pence, you know, kind of stabbed Donald Trump in the back. And I kind of feel like he did, too, in a lot of ways. But nonetheless, he was in a bad position. He was in a bad position, and it was an impossible choice to make that's going to keep everybody happy. And that's kind of the same place that these Republicans in Salem are in right now. They had to make a choice. The Democrats were going to move with or without them. But with the new evidence that they received this week and the conversations that some of them had with Mike Nierman over the week, they felt like this was what they had to do. And they knew that they were going to get beat up about it, and they are getting beat up about it. And I feel bad for some of them, because remember, at the end of the day, you guys, they're citizens just like you and I. They're sacrificing their time. The job itself doesn't pay great. It is a huge sacrifice. It takes them away from their family, from their businesses. They're doing it, I hope, because they have a servant's heart, and they're doing it because they want to serve the constituents in their district and do what's best for the state of Oregon. And it's a big sacrifice, and there's a lot to the job, especially this last year during the long session. I mean, there is so many hours, and you know, at the end of the day, though, they're no different than you and I. They have the same concerns that you and I have. They're worried about their family. They're worried about their own businesses. They're worried about the taxes they pay. They're worried about their state, and they're getting beat up for a, you know, being put in a place that they probably never should have been in. Again, I'll chalk the first blame up to the governor and Tina Kotek and the House leadership for shutting the House down and not allowing people in. But then we can't deny that Mike Nierman, you know, is responsible for this too. And the people that decided to go down and protest at the Capitol and get overly rowdy and take it to the next level, they have a responsibility in this role also. And on principle, I think I understand why Mike did what he did. And on principle, I can applaud him for making the stand. But did he have the legal rights to do what he did? And then making that plan ahead of time so there was actual intent is what ultimately sunk his ship with the Republicans and what I believe is going to sunk his ship when he has his day in court. So it's a bad situation for everybody. But what I would like to say, and I don't want this to get lost, this is going to be something big that people remember Mike Nierman for a long time. And some people are going to love him for it, and some people are going to hate him for it. But this should not be Mike Nierman's legacy. His legacy should be the several years of service and dedication that he gave his constituents in the state of Oregon. His legacy should be that he was a constitutionalist, a strong conservative voice, that he has an excellent, maybe the best voting record. And that's how I think we should remember Mike Nierman. And I just want to say thank you, Mike, for your service. And God bless you. And we're going to be praying for you and your family. And we appreciate what you've done for us. Stick with me, friends. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Mickey Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host, Mickey Garris, your fearless leader, and it's good to be here with you today. We were just talking about the hubbub in Oregon. So it's been a big week. It's been a sad week for the state of Oregon. It's been a historical week. For the first time, the state house has to expel one of its members, Rep. Mike Nierman, has been expelled as of Thursday night. He was expelled from a vote that was unanimous. Every Republican and every Democrat in the House, except for Mike Nierman himself, voted for this action. And it's sad because Mike served his constituents well. He served the state well. He was an effective leader for the most part, and he has an excellent voting record. He's a strong conservative, maybe the strongest conservative, and he's a constitutionalist. So it hurts to lose a voice for the people like that. It really does. Unfortunately, what happened is an unfortunate incident that sealed his fate, and he's responsible for that. Now, we can argue back and forth on whether or not he was in the right or the wrong, but it doesn't change that the wheels are in motion now, and what was going to happen was going to happen. And the Republicans, even Mike Nierman's friends, were put in a tough position. And they knew they were going to get backlash either way, but they did what they thought was the right thing to do. And again, I know a lot of people don't agree with that. They're getting beat up for their decision to go along and expel Mike Nierman from his seat. But with the new evidence that came out this last week and the video that he made telling people what to do, it showed intent. And I believe that when he goes to court, he will get convicted of these charges. So it's a sad situation because, again, Mike, awesome rep, good guy, loves the state, and was just a real strong voice for us. And now we've lost that. So what happens next is the question, right? Well, that district is a messed up district. It's got Marion County, Benton County, Yamhill County, Polk County. It's really broken up, kind of funny. Polk County is the majority, and because it's the bigger area, it also has the most population. And so that's kind of the area that most of the time those representatives focus on. What happens now is the seats opened up, and the leadership from these counties will be able to turn in nominations or candidates. And the law says that there needs to be at least 3 to 5 candidates submitted for an appointment for this open House seat. The law also says that it needs to be a Republican, since Mike Nierman is a Republican, that it needs to be a Republican appointment, unless it's closer to the actual election. If it's in with so many days of the actual election, then they could appoint a Democrat if they decided they wanted to. But right now, the way it stands, it has to be a Republican. And so you're going to have these various entities throw names in the hats. And like I said, there has to be at least 3. So Polk County is going to recruit some people. Benton County might recruit some people. Yamhill, Marion County. They might just all get together and agree on 2 or 3 total. And then put those names in the hats. And after they have their names in the hats, then the commissioners of the county get together and they select the appointment. Now, because Polk County is the biggest county for that district's representation, because by population it has the highest percentage of population, Polk County has a little bit more of a say. And in fact, Polk County gets about 70% of the say on who fills that seat. Polk County and Yamhill County are very similar. Marion County split about 50-50, Republican-Democrat. Benton County, kind of the same thing. Who knows for sure which way it's going to go. But bottom line is, out of the three or five candidates, those commissioners are going to get together and they're going to decide who is best to represent the district. Polk County gets 70% of that say. And then that person will get the appointment, get sworn into office, and will finish the term. So they're coming out of the long session. Right now, you know, the law says the long session has to be finished up here at the end of June. The governor could extend that through an emergency clause if there's something pressing that they just have to get done, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. So the long session's about done. This next year, they'll go into a short session. That's going to last about 31 days. Whoever this appointment is will get to decide after that if they want to go ahead and make a run for that seat in the next coming election. And so that's how that works. So somebody's got some big choices to make and, you know, a lot of praying to do because it is a long commitment. It's a big commitment. It's not quite as bad stepping into it this way, knowing that you only have a short session in front of you, but it's still a lot of work. And the compensation, yes, they're compensated. It's not great. Nobody's getting rich off that job. And a lot of these people that do this have to step away from their own businesses, their own careers. And it's a sacrifice for them to go and serve. And that's why I said you really have to do it for the right reasons. And you have to have a servant's heart. You're not in there to get rich, or at least that should not be. And I don't think that's happening at the state level. If we're talking federal government, obviously that's a different story, right? But at the state level, nobody's getting rich sitting in there. They're truly sacrificing to serve their community. And so it's a lot for somebody to think about. It's a lot for the leadership to think about. Who are they going to nominate? It's a lot for the commissioners to think about. Who are they going to select? And then, you know, for the person that's thinking about throwing their name in the hat, one thing that I would caution and just kind of remind you, the responsibility of that position is to represent your district. Yes, you want what's good for Oregon and what's in the best interest of Oregon, but you got to remember that there's several districts and each district has its own representation. And so I think a lot of times what happens is the representatives will get in there and then they start batting for Oregon and they don't do as much for their individual district as they could. So I just like to remind whoever gets this seat, whoever's going for this district and gets that nomination and gets appointed, work hard for your district, the district that you represent. So work hard for Polk County, Yamhill County, Benton County, Marion County. Do the most you can do for those districts, and how are you going to help the constituents inside those districts? Let the other representatives work hard for their own district. Stick with me, friends. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Mickey Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host, Mickey Garris. Thanks for having me this Saturday. Thanks for being with us. We're talking about Oregon, what's happening with Rep. Mike Nierman now that he's expelled. What is the next step? Who gets to select? And I was just explaining the process. I was explaining that it's going to come down to the four counties in that district, Yamhill, Benton, Marion, and Polk. Polk County gets the majority of the say. They have the biggest percentage of population in that district, so they get about 70% of the say of who that appointment will be. And then I was just talking a little bit about what that appointment's going to look like and what their responsibilities are going to be for the rest of their time. And then obviously next year they'll get to decide once they finish out this term, do they want to run again? And if they run again, they'll be the incumbent. They'll have a good chance to win. If they do a good job, they'll have a good chance to win. But it's anybody's guess what's really going to happen. Whoever does jump into that seat, they've got a lot of thinking to do. They've got a big responsibility on their shoulders. And who or what kind of person should that be? Personally, I'd like to see a strong, strong constitutionalist. I do like a lot of the things Mike Nierman stood for. I think he was a strong constitutionalist. I think he was a strong conservative. And I want to make sure that whoever the replacement is going to be somebody that's going to carry that on and continue mirroring Mike in those ways in that area. But I also think there is more that can be done for the district itself. I really do think that the district that's representative could have more collaboration and just have better relationships with the county leaderships, the commissioners, and they can work together more to really bolster some things that are very important to the constituents within their district, whether it's, let's say, timber revenue stuff or being a bigger voice in Salem for this COVID stuff and all the different mandates and whether or not shots are going to be mandated, things like that. Or they could work with the district, and help find ways to fight against this crazy critical race theory that's being shoved down our throats and being taught in our schools now. And how can we fight that? And I'll be honest with you, that right there, my friends, is our biggest threat in this country. Now, I know you're beside yourself because I know Joe Biden and his administration and the Joint Chiefs have been announcing this week that the biggest threat in this country is climate change. By the way, if you haven't been following that story, Donald Trump laughed at him and said he better fire all those Joint Chiefs because clearly they're incompetent. And if they think climate change is the biggest threat in this country right now, they don't belong in that position. And I have to say, I agree with our great Commander-in-Chief, Donald Trump, the Commander-in-Chief, Donald Trump, because he's absolutely right. And the Joint Chiefs have no business even saying something like that. What I do believe is our biggest threat, and it's happening right here in Oregon. It's happening all over the country, but absolutely Oregon has been affected by it, and it's definitely moving fast with the Democrat leadership that we have, is critical race theory. Now, that's something that a lot of you guys might say, why do you say that is the biggest threat when we have the border crisis and we have national security to think about? And my answer is, why do we have the border crisis? Why do we have national security issues right now? Why do we have a country that's sliding down the slippery slope of socialism and communism? And it's because, the answer is because of indoctrination, my friends. And it starts in our schools. And I do honestly believe that our children are our most precious asset and our future. And they're going to determine what this country is in the next 20 years. And as long as we allow them to be brainwashed, they're going to come out and they're going to keep doing the things that the left wants them to do. They're going to keep pushing socialism. They're going to keep pushing open borders. They're going to keep pushing critical race theory. And we need to put a stop to this right now. This indoctrination is absolutely the most dangerous thing that's happening in this country because it's changing. It's fundamentally changing our ideology and the principles and the values of this country. And the only way this republic exists, my friends, the only way we carry on and we're prosperous is by maintaining our constitutional values, our Christian values, the foundations that this republic was built on, that our founding fathers designed this nation off of. The only way we survive is by upholding those and protecting those. And they are being whittled away because of the education system, public education, and what our children are being taught, and the lack of history that they are being taught, the corrupted history they are being taught, the cancel culture, and now this newest thing on their agenda, this critical race theory. And it's absolutely wrong. It's absolutely wrong. And that's why I believe it's the biggest threat we have in this country. If you want to fix our future, if you want to protect this republic, we've got to allow school choice. We've got to get school and education back to the basics. We need to teach history the right way. And we need to stop pushing agendas down our children's throat, stop indoctrinating them, and stop trying to change their ideology and feed them these lies that make them believe a certain way, because that's exactly what they are doing. And in states like Oregon, my friends, the left is winning. The left is winning. And there's a lot of people that say that they don't agree with this crap. There's a lot of politicians that want to be champions for the children, so they say. But who's doing anything really to stop this stuff? Not enough. There might be a tiny handful. But we need more. We need more people. We need more parents willing to fight for this or against this. We need more politicians willing to stand up and say no. We need more judges willing to stand up and say no. We need more teachers willing to stand up and say no. We have got to stop this because this fundamentally changes this country. And as long as this indoctrination continues, we can't be saved. That's why that is our biggest threat. And if we don't stop it, you're going to have more and more of the generations that keep pushing this leftist ideology that in return make it so we're reliant on the government. We're dependent on government. We're dependent on bigger government. We're reliant on more handouts. Have open borders, which brings in more drugs and more crime that costs this country billions of dollars more. Have open borders that makes it so it's easier for us to be a target from threats like radical Islam and groups like Al-Qaeda and you know, anybody that wants to come in here and wreak havoc on the United States. They have easier access to do that. Now, we know we have terrorists crossing our borders every single day because of the Biden policies and their open border situation and the mess that they have created on the southern border. It's terrible. Talk to any of the leadership from the southern states, any of the people that live down on the border states, and they will tell you how dangerous, how absolutely dangerous it is right now. Texas just passed a bill that they're going to set aside several billion dollars of their own money to secure the border on Texas because they can't rely on the United States anymore. In the meantime, the Pentagon announced this week that Biden administration is taking away $2 billion of border money that they were using from the military funds from the Pentagon, and they're giving it back to the Pentagon for the military. Absolutely ridiculous, weak leadership. And when they do things like that, how can anybody in their right mind stop and think, this administration is doing what's best for our country? This administration is putting America first. This administration is putting United States citizens first. They can't. And they're absolutely not. And it's blatantly obvious right now. It should be obvious to anybody that has a half a brain. You should be able to look at this administration and understand they don't give a damn about you. Have you watched the interviews with Kamala Harris this last week? People asking her why she hasn't gone down to the border and checked it out for herself yet? And she just laughs hysterically. She can't even control herself. Oh, we got people there. We've checked it out. We know what's going on there. She's never been there. She has been put in charge of this crisis, and she can't even talk about it. She doesn't have a clue what's going on, and she's never been down there to see the crisis with her own two eyes. She doesn't care. She doesn't care about you. She doesn't care about me. She doesn't care about the people that are being affected right now on the border as we speak. She doesn't care about the kids in the cages down there. If that was Donald Trump, that's all she'd be talking about. But the crisis is so out of control down there, far worse than it's ever been. There are far more people in cages, if that's what you want to call them, than have ever been under any administration before. And nobody's talking about it. The media is not talking about it. The politicians aren't talking about it. They are completely incompetent, and it's costing us billions, and it's putting our own health and safety at risk. And enough is enough, my friends. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
Back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Mickey Garris.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host, Mickey Garris, and thanks for joining me today. We're finishing up our segment here. We've been talking a lot about what's going on here in the state of Oregon. And we were talking about Rep. Mike Nierman and being expelled from his seat, his House District seat, and what that means for the constituents in his House District, what that means for the state, and what the replacement looks like and what that process is all about. We've been talking about Biden and just how every time he opens his mouth, it's just more and more evidence. He just convinces me more that the man is an incompetent, senile, old fool. And I know that's awful to say about a president of the United States, but it just gives me all the more reason to recognize that there's no way this man was voted into office, because Americans, Republican or Democrat, we can't be that foolish, right? We can't be that stupid to let somebody like Joe Biden win an election for the president of the United States. I mean, the guy, it is just word vomit every time he opens up his mouth. He stumbles, he fumbles, he's incoherent, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Did you see the clips this week of Jill Biden telling Joe to, Joe, sit down, or Joe, pay attention, Joe, don't get confused? I mean, he's talked to by his staff and by his wife like no other commander-in-chief has ever been talked to before. And his behavior is that of a six-year-old kid that just doesn't know up from down. And it's mind-boggling. And anytime they press him on hard issues, he says, oh, I can't say that, I'll get in trouble. Or, oh, I got to ask permission to say that. Oh, I've said too much, I better stop. And if he does go on, he doesn't make any sense whatsoever. He just fumbles and bumbles it. And I sit there and I watch this, and it's day after day, week after week, month after month for over 100 days now. And I'm thinking to myself, holy smokes, there's no absolute way at all that this man got elected president of the United States in a fair election. That should be obvious. And let me tell you something else, my friends, my fellow Democrats that are out there listening to me right now, because I know there's some of you, and hold on. Let me rewind that. Not my fellow Democrats. I am not a Democrat, okay? But I know there are Democrats that are listening to this show. I hear about it. I get lovely letters from you every now and then, or my station sometimes gets letters from you. I got one just the other day. I'll have to share it with you guys. But he's completely disgusted with the way I talk about his party and the things that I say. And he's threatening never to listen again. And I'm thinking, buddy, I'm really not talking to you. If I'm offending somebody like that, I must be doing something right, you know? If I'm getting to them, if they're taking the time to write letters to my station and to my producers and trying to get me in trouble, that tells me that I'm hitting a nerve and I'm probably right. And that's fine with me. So I do get that mail every now and then. But bottom line is, I know they're out listening to me now. And if you're listening to me, my friends, you can't honestly say that you voted for him, right? With, you know, a clear conscience. Were you compelled somehow to vote for him? Were you, you know, what was the thought process? And even if you thought it was the right thing to do in the moment, be honest with me now. How do you feel about it now? Do you still believe it was the right thing to do? Or are you just as absolutely amazed as I am that he's standing up in front of us and he's actually the president of the United States and he can't put more than two words together before he bumbles it around? If you voted for that man, you should feel guilty. You should feel scared for the nation. You should feel responsible, and it should make your stomach sick. It should make you want to vomit because you voted. You aided in putting this incompetent commander-in-chief in the White House. Somebody that's supposed to be the most powerful man in the world, the most powerful man, the ruler of the free world. And let me tell you something, my friends, if you aided that, if you voted for him, if you somehow thought he was going to be better than Donald Trump, how do you feel right now? How do you feel that fuel prices are spiking through the roof? How do you feel that there's people just sitting there collecting a paycheck from Uncle Sam? There's plenty of jobs out there, but nobody wants to go back to work. How do you feel that our borders are being torn apart, that we're more unsafe now than we have been in decades? How do you feel that the peace agreement that was going so well in the Middle East has been blown to smithereens? How do you feel that the trade deals with China are being blown to smithereens? Everything that this administration does is hurting you too. It's not just hurting me. It's not just hurting conservatives. It's not just hurting Republicans. It's hurting you too. If you voted for that man, if you were one of the ones responsible for getting him in the White House, how do you feel now? Because your life has to be suffering a little bit. You have to be feeling the pain of the incompetence of this administration. And if you're honest at all, I want to hear it. I want to know what you say now. I want to know if a couple morning tweets from Donald Trump that were enough to tick you off and despise the man, were those tweets worth voting against him? Were those tweets worth putting somebody like Joe Biden in the office? Because I don't think they were. In fact, knowing what I know now, I've been a Trump supporter forever, but I didn't always love everything he said or wrote in his tweets or on Facebook. I didn't think it was always necessary, but knowing what I know now, by God, I would love to see more of those tweets right now. I'd love to have cheap gas prices, a strong economy, businesses booming and thriving the way they were under his administration. And I would trade that for a couple nasty tweets that he might do that some people might think are untasteful for the President of the United States to write something like that. Bring it on. I'm all about that untastefulness if it means getting our country back on track and securing our borders and protecting our military and bringing peace in the Middle East and giving us the strongest economy that we have ever had. I'm excited for the midterms because I think Republicans are going to kick some booty. I'm excited for the midterms because I think Donald Trump's just going to get stronger. I think he's going to come back with a vengeance. And I think he will be our next president of the United States again. I think if he wants it, it's his for the taking. And I'm praying that the governor of Florida, Rick, come on, Rick. I'm hoping that you join up with him, team up with him. Be his running mate, be a good vice president so we can stick you in there as the president when Donald Trump's done. That's my hope for this nation. I think it's going to happen that way. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. But more importantly, I'm praying about it. And my friends, with everything that's going on in our state right now, with everything that's going on in our country right now, with all the bad things that we see happening every time we turn on the news, With Mike Nierman being expelled from office, with our military leaders' biggest concern being climate change, with critical race theory indoctrinating our children in our public schools, creating generations and generations of kids that are going to keep this country going towards socialism and communism, and poisoning the foundation of this country. Let me tell you something, friends. There is a lot to pray about. And that's where we need to start. We need to pull our head out of the sand. We need to pray. We need to repent. And we need to be willing to fight. God bless you guys. Stay vigilant, my friends. We'll catch you next week right here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
You've been listening to Patriot Uprising Radio right here on KSLM and KSLM.news.